Good morning, friends. It's so good to see you. It's so good to be together to worship the Lord. And let me say one thing while I'm thinking about it. I think this is in your bulletin, but if you think we don't happen to have your phone number and you would like to be alerted to things that we're passing on, whether it's cancellations like Casey mentioned this morning or prayer requests, you write that on that little address card in the back of the seats there and drop it in the offering box so we can communicate to you too. And if you happen to be new today and haven't been here much or haven't been here for a long time, we'd surely like to have your information. If you would be so kind to fill out one of those cards, drop it in the offering boxes so we could have a way of communicating, we would surely appreciate that. When I started this Memorial Stones series a couple of months ago, I did it for a couple of reasons, and I told you that back at the beginning, but in case you're new to this series, let me say it again. People had asked me over the course of time, particularly this last fall and early winter, to be reminded of some of the blessings of God here in the past 20 years. And so reason number one, we're in this Memorial Stones series. People wanted to know what God had done in the miraculous. I mean, God has done a lot, but a lot of it has been miraculous. And the other reason I chose this and entitled it Memorial Stones is because as God instructed the children of the Old Testament, don't forget what I have done for you, I wanted us to be of the same frame of mind, not forgetting what God has done. I don't want to ever forget the blessings of God here. I don't want the next generation to forget the blessings of God here. Because there is a consequence if we do. You say, Jim, what do you mean? There is a consequence to the next generation if this generation forgets the blessings of God. And I'm going to show us that today from Scripture. I'm going to show us today from Joshua, just really, really briefly in Joshua where we started, and then a little bit in Judges. What happens when we forget to pass on? And let me say this too, because I had conversation with some people after the first service. Sometimes in the church, we do all that we can to pass on, and every one of our children, grandchildren, neighborhood kids, and everything else, we still have freedom to choose, but we, this generation, must do all we can to pass on the good news of Jesus Christ to the next generation, or the next generation won't have it. And that's the reason for today's message. The next two Sundays will, in fact, be talking about miracles of God again. But today, the consequences when we don't remember. So let me just remind us from Joshua chapter 4, where we started really briefly, before I go to Judges chapter 2. If you got your Bible, I'm in Joshua chapter 4. Just a couple verses, beginning at verse 7, four through 7, to remind us where we started in this series a couple months ago. Here's what he said. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. That's where we started a couple of months ago. And those of you that have been here, you know that we actually added some stones here as a visible reminder, memorial stones, to not forget what God has done. You see, in that passage, Joshua was told by God, and he passed on to the children of Israel, we're going to take up these 12 stones out of the Jordan. We're going to take them up to Gilgal. We're going to set them up there. And when your children come along and say, what are them stones all about? You tell them what God has done. That's the whole idea of the memorial stone series and what God told Joshua, because he didn't want the next generation forgetting what God had done. There's a lot of outside influences in life. Have you noticed? There's a lot of outside influences. And God knew that the people crossing the Jordan that day were going into the land of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the, well, you name it, termites and everything else. He knew that when he got there, God knew that there would be outside influences. And if God's people were not intentional about passing on the things of God, the ways of God, the good blessings of God, the outside influences would affect his people. He said, don't forget. Joshua said that in 4, now Judges chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, flip to the next book in the Bible, Judges chapter 2. Just a few verses, second chapter, beginning at verse 6. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. Okay, we're a bunch of years beyond Joshua 4. They crossed the Jordan. They took care of most of the idol-worshipping pagan people that were there. It was a form of God's judgment. He said, take care of them or they're going to influence you. And they did that for the most part. You read through that, you'll see, well, there was a few of these left. There was a few of them left. But over the next years, once they crossed the Jordan, when God stopped the river, they crossed over. Over the next years, you know the story. You know the walls of Jericho fell down first. And from there, the Israelites began to conquer the promised land that God had given to them. And so we get down the road a few years. Then Joshua called, then Joshua had dismissed the people. All those children of Israel, they went to their own inherited allotments. Verse 7 says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which we had done for Israel. What does that mean? I think you all know this. I explained it to us a month or so ago. When Joshua crossed into the promised land across the Jordan, he and Caleb were the only two left of the generation that come out of Egypt over a certain age. So he's a bit older than everybody else crossing the Jordan. But there were elders of the people that crossed with him that were in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, had seen Moses, had been instructed by Moses. They're the elders now. They're the ones that are leading the children of Israel into the land behind Joshua. That generation saw the works of God. They saw the generosity of God and the goodness of God, and they worshiped God. So all the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Verse 8, now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Verse 10. When all that generation, the one I just spoke about, the elders of that generation I just spoke about in verse 7, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, died, passed away, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Are you seeing what it says here, friends? Consequences of not, and they may be tried to some degree, but there is a very real consequence if we are not absolutely intentional about passing on the ways of God. There's a consequence. And verse 10 says, when that generation that saw the hand of God, they saw the Jordan stopped. They knew about the stones taken up out of the Jordan. They knew about that. When those elders passed on, another generation came up behind them who did not know the Lord and did not know the work which he had done. There's also a consequence for that. When we don't understand the ways of God, when we don't understand his goodness and what he's done, here's what it is. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. That was the gods of that time frame in that place. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, excuse me, from among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them, so he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers and who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. I've read this lots of times, and I imagine you have too. And I'm very aware of what God had done for the children of Israel. The 10 plagues, bringing them out of Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea, and feeding of manna for 40 years, and water out of rock, and stopping the Jordan and everything else. I'm very aware of what they saw. And so when I get to verse 10, Judges 2, my mind cries out, how in the world can that happen? Are you hearing me today, friends? My mind cries out, how in the world can that happen? But then I might think of today in America, and not just today, but the last quite a few years. How has it happened? Why did it happen? Did we not pass on the ways of God? Did we not offer up to our children the importance of Jesus? Did we not pass on the ways that God instructs in us in his word? How has it happened? I see how it happened then. How has it happened for us that once upon a time, Scripture was actually read in the classroom to start the day? You're familiar with that. You're aware of that, right? Prayer was offered at the start of the school day. How has it happened that we forbid that at this point? Did we get smarter, or did we forget the ways of God? Amen. There's a consequence when we're not intentional about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. There's a consequence for not, whether it's erecting 12 little old rocks or some manner, shape, or form, passing on to our children and to our grandchildren and to the neighborhood kids if possible. There's a consequence when we don't tell them the good news of the good book. I could give you all kinds of examples. I don't need to. But there's a consequence when we don't intentionally pass on to our children the ways of God. I told the earlier service, and most of you know this, I like Old Testament history, I really do. I think there's a lot we can learn from it. And I even like to assign numbers. I like to know when did this happen. Oh, so I think in my mind, I know generically Abraham was about 2,000 years B.C. Okay, we got Abraham, we got Isaac, we got Jacob. They go into Egypt, that's about 1,800 B.C., 1850. They come back out of Egypt, 1450 B.C. These numbers aren't new to you, are you? You still with me? You taking notes, anybody? There'll be a test next week. This is really just fun stuff to know in your mind. I mean, we remember the names of the Beatles. Surely we can remember this. 1406, the River Jordan has stopped. They walk into the Promised Land. 1406 B.C., when you look at the book of Judges, chronologically, most commentators will say the book of Judges, the period of Judges, started around 1375. Around. 1406, 1375. Any math whizzes? That's 31 years. When that generation, the elders of that generation that saw the Jordan stopped, Joshua led them across. When that generation were gathered to their ancestors, when they passed away, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord, nor did they know the work which the Lord had done. And my mind asks, how does that happen? One of the things, people of God, that we must be intentional about doing is passing on the good news of Jesus. We must be intentional about not forgetting what God has done in our own lives, in our own community, in our own churches, or in America. We must not forget what He has done. Listen to me, friends, for a minute. Let me try to wrap this up. In the next few minutes, we'll get ready for communion. It's 2023, and things are very, very different in America than they were 50 years ago. Can I get a witness? Do you, Jim, that's just a shade older than I am, my parents just a shade older than I am, they know, they've seen more things than I have. But America's very, very different 2023 than it was 50 years ago. And I simply submit to us, friends, I'm a church leader, so I have to take some blame, some responsibility. But I submit to us, when followers of Jesus today, okay, it's 2023, how are we going to go forward? When followers of Jesus Christ today are not absolutely intentional about passing on to our children and to our grandchildren and the next generation of people the ways of God, then the ways of God will go out the window if we're not absolutely intentional about this. People of God, we must pass on the good things of God. What He has done, We must pass on to them the way of Jesus. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus here on Easter in a little while. We must pass. What is that all about? We must pass that on. Or the world will tell them it's not true. We must pass on the ways of God. We must be intentional about instructing our kids and grandkids and, when possible, neighborhood kids the good news of Jesus and all the Bible has to offer. We must be intentional about that, or the enemy of our souls will provide to them idols for them to look to instead of the one true God. We must be intentional about this. Are you hearing me, friends? This doesn't happen. Passing on the ways of God and for the next generation to have the ways of God instilled in them doesn't happen by just throwing them to the wind. And I know that's not what you've done. But we must be intentional about telling the next generation about the ways of God, or God is not going to be important to them. If in my lifestyle God is not important to me, and it shows. I don't have time to go to church on Sunday. I'm too busy with X, Y, or Z. I don't have time to read the good book any other time. I'm too busy with X, Y, and Z. I don't have time to spend time in prayer, passionately prayer. And my kids see that. How important is God to me? My example and the church's example today will speak volumes to the next generation. And if God doesn't show in my life, it ain't going to show up in the next generation because it wasn't important to me. How important is Jesus to us today? If I got time, if I got a little bit of time this week, maybe I'll take my kids to church or my grandkids, or maybe I'll read the word in front of them, or maybe I'll show them. How important is he to me? I don't know what happened with the generation that saw those rocks get put up and the one that rose up after him that knew nothing about, but I suspect two things. One, it wasn't passed on the way it should be, and two, a lot of poor choices were made. I could give you 10 examples, but I don't have time. But let me just give you one for an example. I read this last week. And please hear me, I'm not here to condemn. I'm just going to read a statement, a headline of the reality of today in America. This was in Christian Post last week. Are you familiar, let me ask this first, are you familiar with the terminology about Generation X and Generation Z and millennials? Are you kind of in tune with that? Give me a yes or no. I don't have time to explain it all. Generation Z is primarily about birth time 1997 to 2012, primarily. So you got about 25-year-olds down to 10-year-olds. That's primarily Generation Z today. Are you still with me? Here's what the article said. I should say, here's what the title said. LGBT identification doubled in the last decade, including nearly 20% of Generation Z, according to Gallup's latest poll. That's what the headline said. It's actually 19.7. 19.7% of Generation Z identifies as LGBT. Or T. Now, I'm not suggesting this phenomenon started last week, but I am suggesting this is a result of Americans minimizing God and not impressing upon our young people the ways of God. I am suggesting that the way of God is clear, the way of God is good, the way of God is truth. And I am suggesting when we compromise the ways of God and we forget to instill them in our children, then the ways of the world will have more effect on them than the ways of God. I am suggesting that. And so we in the church have a choice. Are we going to pass on the ways of God? Are we going to forget the ways of God and let the ways of the world lead who we are? Because that's what happened in Judges 2. This is a result, when I read this headline, and I could read so many more, a result of politicians and pastors and priests and presidents alike not seeking hard after the ways of God, but rather going with the progressive ideology of my rights and my will versus the ways of God. This is a result. No, I'm not talking about the idols of Baal and Ashtoreths, but I am saying there are idols in our lives. There are a lot of them. And they have gotten in the way of God. They have clouded our thinking. They have clouded our judgment. We are confused at the ways of God in America today. We've squeezed God out. We continue to squeeze God out of the public square, of politics, of the public school, and we've squeezed him and his word out of the church. And this is a result. As a nation, for a good while, we have become like Judges 2. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, and they did not know the works which he had done. I said this earlier and I'll say it again, I am not blaming Generation Z for their confusion. I am suggesting strongly we got to this point in history because we have set the ways of God aside and thought we are more progressive and more enlightened and knew better. I am suggesting we didn't pass on, as God told Joshua, don't forget the ways of God. God specifically said to Joshua, set up these stones as a memorial and don't forget what God has done. And when we forget, we continue to slip further and further and further away from the ways of God. That's why I've been asking us, and Casey has been asking us during this Lenten season, fast and pray and seek the face of God like never before for this generation, for this nation. Set aside time during this Lenten season to fast and pray and seek the face of God, as he told Solomon back in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's why I'm asking us this Lenten season to fast and pray and seek the face of God like never before. And ask God to do a work in us, his people today. I'm not talking about this church or this denomination. I'm talking about God's people. Ask God to do a work in us that shines the light to the next generation so that they'll want to embrace the ways of God. They'll want to embrace the Son of God. They'll want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And they too will pass on, if Jesus doesn't return, to the next generation, the goodness of God. Amen. As we prepare for communion, I'm going to read a little scripture, then invite some folks up here and help me distribute the elements to you. This comes from Luke chapter 22. Luke writes, "When the hour came, he," that's Jesus, "reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" Then Luke writes, "And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant, established by my blood. It is shed for you.' But look," Luke writes, "Jesus said, 'The hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.'" I'm going to invite us just to bow our heads in prayer before the Lord today and examine ourselves. Am I right with God? Have I confessed sin? Have I embraced Christ as Lord and Master and Savior? Because when we do this, we're doing to remember what he's done, to remember the sacrifice, to remember of the love. And so let's just take a moment of silent prayer and examine ourselves and prepare for communion. Father, thank you again for your great love, according to Paul's writing in Romans, that demonstrated to us, your love was demonstrated to us by sending your son to die for our sin. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for our sin. Thank you for being willing to set us free from our past. And all of us have one, our before Christ years, whatever that includes. But it's sin of some kind, all of us. Thank you for being willing to die for that sin, take it upon yourself, so we could be free to walk with you, Lord Jesus, in newness of life. And so we take these elements of the bread and the cup today to remember that sacrifice, to remember the love, to remember the blood shed for our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." The Bible also says that after supper he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me."
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your love and your grace and your patience with us each and every day. Lord, nobody's here by accident today. We're all here for a purpose, for a reason. And Lord, to give you glory through everything that we do. We thank you for the elements to gather together corporately, to break bread with one another and drink the blood of the cross. And Lord, that we can have it to push us forward and through today and into the week. And as we go out and do your will, wherever you may have us this week, Lord, guide us and direct us and give us your will throughout the week as we go. And Lord, for the family this afternoon, for the funeral, give us the ability to serve them in their time of need and help them through their time. Lord, we got so much to be thankful and grateful for, and you are an awesome God, and we give you praise for it all. Lord Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.